interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crowe Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Hump Day to you. And it is a Hump Day, Wednesday, final day of July, trade deadline edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Darn right, we're ready to play ball on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love, alongside the famous Clint D. For the next 2 hours, we thought the news of the day. I thought, before like an hour ago, my biggest talking point would be Michael Thomas in a landmark deal for the talented young wide receiver. The Saints get their man, and oh yeah, we'll be talking plenty about it. But boy, oh boy, did the Houston Astros just absolutely blow up the trade deadline before the gun. By now, you've probably heard the details. Whether you have or you haven't, I'll give them to you. Then I will give my reaction. And so who would have thunk it? Michael Thomas gets the largest deal ever, most guaranteed money ever for a player at his position, and yet we're leading off with the Houston Astros. So I'll go down that road, and then I'll take your phone calls. Be quick today. We don't have a lot of time to mess around. 706-0111. I should introduce us. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. Inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. You get so excited, you forget to say your name. But here's what we do know. The Astros just pulled off a monster move. Zach Greinke coming to town. Yes, he has a 10-7 record. That's not exactly going to sparkle for many of you out there. Yes, he allowed 2 runs over 5 innings to the Yankees earlier today, and that won't get a lot of people excited either. The guy's got a 2.87 ERA with the Diamondbacks. That should get you very excited. His experience, his postseason experience, what this guy has done for contenders and even non-contenders back in the day when he was the best thing going for a pretty bad Kansas City Royals team. Zach Greinke is as salty as they come. And here's the other great news. The Greinke monster has 2 years, $70 million remaining on a deal that originally was inked prior to the 2016 season. At the time, it was 6 years, $206.5 mil. In a moment, I'll tell you exactly what the Astros gave up to get Greinke. But my immediate first blush off-the-cuff reaction: this installs the Astros as your American League favorites. I don't know how you could see it any differently. I'm sure they do in the Bronx. I'm sure some in the land of 10,000 lakes will find a way to disagree with what I just said. And there are probably some really stubborn massholes near Boston that would disagree with me as well. The Astros have to be the favorite in the American League now. And I would take them right now to beat the team with the best record in baseball, the Dodgers, if that's who meets in the 2019 World Series. It's because of the first four. You can now roll out in whatever order you like. I'm sure it'll be Justin Verlander first. He obliterated Cleveland last night at Progressive Field, too, in case you didn't see that, blanking the Indians, another double-digit strikeout performance. But your first four are now Verlander, Greinke, Gerrit Cole, an all-star, and Wade Miley, who's pitching kind of like he did last year in the postseason for the Milwaukee Brewers. This is an enormous move for the Houston Astros. That first four I just mentioned, right now, those are four of your top 15 pitchers in the bigs this season by ERA. And so, yes, enormous is the word I'll continue to use. It's not as big as Verlander was 2 years back, when the Astros first scaled the mound. It's not quite that big, but it's not too many rungs on the ladder lower either. This is exactly what Jeff Luhnow and company needed. And so the fact that they were able to pull it off on trade deadline Wednesday, I'll continue to tell you, I think this makes the Houston Astros a more complete team a team with much better starting pitching and depth doing it than the Yankees. I think this makes them better than the Twinkies. I think this keeps them better than the Red Sox. Big time stuff today for the Houston Astros. And yeah, they're going to follow us at 6:10 p.m. first pitch from Cleveland. 6 o'clock is when Astro launch will begin. But this, to me, it cannot be understated how much this helps the rotation, the depth, the star power, everything. And it's happening at the perfect time. Now, as far as what the Astros gave up, the Diamondbacks will receive the Astros number 3, 4, and 5 prospects. Yeah, they were pretty serious about this one. Jeff Luhnow and the Astros, because they wanted a guy that can help them take it back, as the mantra states this year, but they also have team control over him for next season. But they're giving up Seth Beer, the farm system's number 3 overall prospect. J.B. Bukauskas, the number 4 overall prospect. And the number 5 overall prospect, Corbin Martin, who right now is on the shelf. Astros had him, feels like he pitched maybe in 5 games, dominated the Rangers in a Sunday start, and from there got mediocre, and then after that got downright bad. And then we found out he was injured. And so the Diamondbacks will get a really nice shot in the arm and an injection for the future. They get the number 3, 4, and 5 overall prospect from the Astros. My 2 cents there, I'd rather give up Corbin Martin and his future than Forrest Whitley and his, even knowing how bad Forrest Whitley has been in minor league ball this year. He'll come back. I don't have a lot of doubt about that with his pedigree. But the Astros give up a pretty penny. But like Verlander, they get someone who can help down the stretch this year, but he's not just a rent-a-season type of cat. You'll get him again next year. Astros weren't done just there. They also acquired Blue Jays starter Aaron Sanchez and closer Joe Biagini. Not a bad move, considering the fact that today Astros had to put Ryan Pressly on the 10-day IL. I think that'll be short-lived, but still you need a little help. And it never hurts to give Roberto Osuna a little bit of cushion there. Maybe on the front end, a little bit of cushion on the backside of Will Harris as well. And a couple of other moves of note, both involving catchers. The Astros have sent Max Stassi to the Angels, and they have reacquired, they like this guy, Martin Maldonado. He is back in an Astros uniform. Tony Kemp Jr., as we foretold last week, is heading in the other direction. So big news, late breaking, wanted to lead with it. Again, off the cuff, I'm going to tell you this makes the Astros the AL favorites. And right now, I'll take them. I'll take their chances, beating any comer that gets into the World Series from the National League. Astros aren't messing around, trying to get 2 World Series championships in 3 years. All right, only 2 hours of the program today, but with a guest list like this, I think you could tell we're trying to max it out. On the other side of this break, head to New Orleans. Jeff Duncan, he's got a new gig. We'll tell you all about it, and then we'll talk Michael Thomas and his huge 5-year, $100 million extension. $61 million of that is guaranteed. Unbelievable. The Saints pulled it off, or maybe you would argue that Michael Thomas and his representation pulled it off. Jeff Duncan will tell you all about it, plus the latest from Saints training camp. Again, that's coming your way in about 4 minutes. Thrilled to tell you that it's straight up 5 o'clock. We're going to Cleveland. Steve Sparks, color analyst for the Astros Radio Network. He's literally, as we speak, interviewing head coach, manager, A.J. Hinch. So we'll get the reaction there. We'll get Steve's reaction to Zach Greinke coming to H-Town. And right now, he's in Cleveland. Last night, they shipped out Trevor Bauer. How about that? And so a lot happening right now. Steve Sparks in the epicenter of all of it in Cleveland. We'll have him live from Progressive Field at straight up 5 o'clock. And then on the way to Canton, Ohio, Ed Daniels, WGNO Sports at 5:45. Big time B2BS program today. So stay right there. Bumper to Bumper Sports will be right back on 103.7 The Game.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before. Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
And with the news of the early morning Michael Thomas going to be bringing home the bacon. Saints will be bringing back home to camp their lead target. Let's discuss that and more. Back in for more Bumper to Bumper Sports. I'm Ben Love, and glad to have you on 103.7 The Game. Joining us aboard the ARDCO Equipment Hotline, Jeff Duncan, columnist for The Athletic New Orleans. Jeff, welcome back in. First and foremost, congratulations on the new gig. Thrilled to be reading your work there.
Thanks, Ben. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's still kind of new to me to say Jeff Duncan with The Athletic after 20 years at the Times-Picayune. But the good thing about it is the whole staff is former Times-Picayune, NOLA.com employees, so really hasn't felt like much of a transition. It's been a pretty seamless switch so far.
Jeff, my wife and I moved about 18 months ago. I drove to the old house for like a week straight, so I don't think you'll have that type of problem. You know the right website.
Yeah, and I know what you mean. It just, we all get in those habits, right? And every once in a while when I call a source, I do slip up. But it's been a really nice landing spot for me here. I did not want to leave the market. I had some opportunities to go elsewhere, but this is home to me now, and what a great time to do it. I mean, the Saints are Super Bowl contenders. I think LSU is going to be a college football playoff contender, and with the Zion hype train with the Pelicans, I mean, it's just, I don't know if we've ever had this much excitement in 1 year.
Spot on. It's going to be a lot of fun, I believe, in South Louisiana. A lot of fun for Michael Thomas, his representation. They get, I think, just about what they wanted. I know they were talking $22 million a year, but the guaranteed money is at $61 million. That's unprecedented. I'd love your reaction to it.
Well, look, you know, we knew this deal was eventually going to get done. You know, it took a little while, probably longer than anybody really wanted. But in the end, you know, but Michael Thomas is under contract now, long term, and I think the you know, the Saints have their lead receiver now under contract for the next 5 years. He's in his prime. He's 26 years old. He's productive. He's healthy. He's only missed one game in his entire 3 year career. I just think there's so many positives that come out of this, and I know a lot of Saints fans are worried how they're going to pay Mike Thomas and Drew Brees going forward. They'll figure out a way. I mean, they can make the cap numbers work. The cap's going to continue to rise. It's actually going to probably make a huge jump with the next collective bargain agreement. So I don't think it's going to be, you know, the numbers of a roughly $20 million a year look staggering right now for a non-quarterback. But I think all that's going to change once this cap makes a jump in a year or two.
They've gotten the deal done. You mentioned some things that may be coming with Brees, his contract, if he's around after this year. Who else would you look at? And whether it's this offseason or more likely the following one, who's coming up next that Saints fans should monitor?
Well, they're going to get Alvin Kamara done. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I mean, he probably would be next in line. I don't know if they're going to have the opportunity to re-sign Andres Pete next year. I mean, he really will be the big free agent for this team next offseason because he's a starting Pro Bowl caliber guard, but they did not pick up his option beyond this season. He'll be an unrestricted free agent, and while I know he's a guy they'd probably like to have back to keep that continuity of the offensive line, then I just don't know if they could afford to keep paying everybody. When you know you've got Alvin Kamara, Ryan Ramczyk, a Pro Bowl right tackle, Marshawn Lattimore, your clear lead number one corner. All those guys are going to be coming up for contracts. The bill is going to come due soon in the next year or two. I don't know if they can afford to pay Andres Pete next year. So technically he would be the next one up just because he's seniority when he signed. But I don't know if because they also like their young interior offensive lineman, Cameron Tom, a kid from Baton Rouge, Will Clapp played at LSU. They just brought in Nick Easton from Minnesota. All these guys play along the interior line. I think they may have to have a similar situation to what happened with Mark Ingram, where they have a number for Andres Pete, but they can't go above it, and they run the risk of when he gets to the open market losing him to another team.
Talking Saints football with Jeff Duncan, columnist for The Athletic New Orleans. As far as some of the actions so far, just about a week into training camp, a lot of talk about Emmanuel Butler. But I'm interested in what you have to say on Keith Kirkwood, because he's had some time in this system. Is that somebody who can fill in when needed, or is he going to be more than that this year?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought him up, because I do think he's getting overlooked in all the Emmanuel Butler hype. And Emmanuel Butler has stacked a bunch of good days together, so he deserves a lot of the attention. But he hasn't played a game yet. He hasn't even played a preseason game yet, so I think we need to see a little more of Butler before we crown him, as Dennis Green would say. But Keith Kirkwood, when Mike Thomas was out of camp, Keith Kirkwood was the starting split end on this team. He was the X receiver, and that's the prime position in the Saints offense. It's what Marcus Colston played, and it's what Mike Thomas has played. And I think Keith Kirkwood's going to end up being the third receiver on this team, along with Ted Ginn Jr. and Thomas, when they go to those three receiver sets. It's not going to be set in stone. I think they're going to use different receivers and mix and match those guys according to their strengths, like they always do. But I do think Keith Kirkwood is a guy that, well, I know he's a guy that Drew Brees trusts implicitly to run the right route, to be where he's supposed to be. He's got great hands. He doesn't drop very many balls. And that goes a long way in this offense because they require so much from the receivers to be in the right spot at the right time and make the right read so Drew Brees is on the same page with them. And Keith Kirkwood does that.
Let's go to the defensive side. Jeff, your takeaways from the player that Malcolm Brown has been with the Patriots, and if you think Dennis Allen's going to ask him to, do similar type of things within this Saints defense.
Yeah, he's going to be their run stuffer inside. You know, he's replaced Tyler Davidson. And I think along when David Onyemata and Sheldon Rankins get back, and Onyemata will be back after day one, they're going to have a really strong interior line. I really think this front seven will be as good as it's been under the Saints, maybe since the early days back when I covered the team as a beat writer when Jim Hazlitt was there and they had Leroy Glover and Darren Howard and Norman Hand and Joe Johnson. I mean, they were really strong in the front seven. I think they have a chance to rival that because Marcus Davenport has come on. I think he's a breakthrough candidate at one end spot. And Brown is just solid. He's not going to rush the passer and get after you, the way Norman Hand might have done as a run stuffer. But he's just really solid against the run. And I think plugs a big hole for this team, losing Davidson to the Falcons.
Let's go in a little bit more. I'm glad you mentioned the front seven, maybe as stout as they've been in, I don't know, a decade and a half. Outside of Demario Davis, who do you trust at linebacker? And I'm curious if there's still a spot for a healthy Alex Anzalone in that mix.
Oh, yeah. Alex Anzalone is a starter, and he's going to start and play a lot in the nickel packages as well. You know, he can defend. He's good in pass coverage. He can run. He just needed to stay healthy. I think he would have been a lot higher draft pick out of Florida if he would have not had the injury history that he's had. And I tell you, the guy to watch at linebacker is Caden Ellis, the seventh-round pick. This kid, they're very high on him. He's already the backup Mike linebacker behind Demario Davis. But they really are high on Ellis. He's out of Idaho. He's a guy that kind of slipped through the cracks, a terrific all-around athlete. And he's definitely going to make the team, and I think he's going to play a lot, especially on special teams.
Coming down the stretch with Jeff Duncan of The Athletic, just – don't know a ton, frankly, if I'm going to be honest, about the big back that they brought in. I remember watching him with Minnesota and with Oakland, but he was never their lead guy. So how important can Murray be for these Saints?
Yeah, Latavius Murray, I think, is going to be a solid backup. He's not Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram was a special player, a very explosive runner. Murray's just going to be the reliable veteran guy. I mean, I think I would compare him to, say, Travaris Cadet in that you knew what you're going to get out of him. I think he's a bigger back than Cadet, but he's not going to be Ingram 1-2 punch with Kamara. He's just not that level of talent. But what he is good at is goal line short yardage. He has good vision. He's just not as explosive in and out of his cuts or into the line of scrimmage. And that's why I also think they brought in Rob Kelly, you know, the former Tulane Green Wave standout who was with the Washington Redskins. He was at camp yesterday. He's a big back that, can kind of move the pile. And I think he's going to make this roster. I think they continue to want to churn that backup running back position because they know at some point Alvin Kamara is probably going to get nicked up and miss a game. And in the past, they always had Ingram there as a safety valve. Now you don't have Ingram. You got to improve that depth behind Kamara.
unbelievably happy that you're in this market as well, Jeff. I know we're on this side of the basin here in Lafayette, but so much of Who Dat Nation resides in Acadiana. They've been enjoying your coverage for years, so they'll get to do that at The Athletic. Tell them anything else that you want to about some of the plans you have and just what they can expect.
Well, if they're not familiar with The Athletic, it's a subscription-based sports website, so it's different in that we don't rely on advertising and clicks. We try to see subscriptions, and right now you can subscribe for 40% off, so it's about $20, $30 a year, less than $5 a month, and you get the best sports writers in the country. We've got over 300 writers. They just hired 50 reporters in Europe to cover Premier League, so if you're a soccer nut, you can get your soccer coverage, you get your national coverage. We have a list of outstanding national writers, but you can also get your local stuff here in New Orleans. We've got Brody Miller covering LSU for us, does a terrific job, and Larry Holder and myself here, along with Will Guillory, covering the Pelicans. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. I don't know of anything else quite like it on the internet where you can get your local coverage and your national coverage at one spot for a very affordable price.
You took the words out of my mouth. Duncan Holder reunited at last. It was brief, but still, I'm sure there was some separation anxiety.
Good one, yeah. Anyway, look, we've got plans in the works to revive that podcast. It's going to happen. We've just got to get it rolling here before the start of football season, but that's in the works.
There we go. Let us know when it happens. We'll be happy to talk then. Jeff, thanks so much for doing this, and congrats again.
Thanks, Ben. I love Lafayette, so anytime you want, give me a call, buddy. We'll do it again.
Love it. And, yeah, you can basically book it. It'll happen sooner than later. Jeff Duncan with the Athletic New Orleans. Glad that he landed exactly where he's at. Duncan Holder podcast coming back. Clint is lit up like a Christmas tree. Not drunk, just happy. We're coming back. Drunk with happiness. The Saints have Michael Thomas, and the Astros have Zach Greinke. We'll keep talking both. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Let's get back to more of Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports, where we practically wrote the rules of football on 103.7 The Game.
Back in business, halfway past 4 o'clock, this is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and you're listening to 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. Let's take those phone calls. We got time for your reaction. The Saints get a huge, huge, extension. They get a huge bout of mental peace of mind and security. Michael Thomas is going to be around. Extended 5 years, $100 million, $61 million of that guaranteed. Plus, as we led off with, the more recent breaking news, the Houston Astros have traded for Zach Greinke. And so that front four, filthy for the Stros. Verlander, Greinke, Cole, and Wade Miley. We'd love for you to call in. We got about 25 more minutes before we take you to Cleveland. And speaking of the Astros, Steve Sparks of the Astros Radio Network will join us from Progressive Field. Psyched for that. But call us between now and then at 706-0111. Clint, one other note. I just saw this from our buddy Chandler Rome of the Houston Chronicle. You don't drink, so this won't mean much to you, but everybody will want to know, are you a beer guy? Are you a wine guy? According to Chandler Rome, Gerrit Cole is awfully excited that Zach Greinke is a noted wine enthusiast. Here's the exact quote that he gave moments ago in Cleveland. We have a couple of those on the squad. I have another old world buddy.
That's awesome.
These guys get paid to go gas it up to 95, 98, throw some filthy breaking balls, and then they just go shard in the locker room, apparently. I'm guessing they're actually probably not white wine guys. Maybe they go and just go manic on a little Merlot, right? So a little bit of fun coming to Minute Maid Park and not just for the patrons.
Exactly. And you got to wonder who else is in that kind of exclusive club of wine aficionados. You can about imagine probably JV might be in that
I'd love to take some guesses, actually.
Yes.
Is it the sink or swim question? It's probably actually better than the one that I was about to trot out. Verlander would have to be in that group.
Yes. This is a question we'll have to ask him on Channel Rome next time.
I would venture to say, I'm having a hard time believing that any of the Latin American players are big into wine. I'm just going to say they probably don't frequent it.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking as well.
But you could picture some of those guys we just talked about just like, you know,
yes,
wafting
just,
it.
Yeah.
Right? You know, just
tasting it. Not necessarily imbibing on it.
These are the cats that get the cork at the restaurant and they get this, you know, right? You know, the way it's supposed to be done. As opposed to some of the guys that maybe are just breaking in from AAA and they're like, you mean it's not just like Boone's Farm or Bust anymore, right? We're not twisting off the lid. Sweet, you know? So not bad. Garrett Cole, Zach Greinke, wine enthusiast, and they're going to be palling it up. A couple of Thunder buddies playing for the Astros now. All right, enough of that. Michael Thomas. Probably haven't talked enough about it yet. You got Jeff Duncan's opinion on it. Now I want your opinion.
Exciting and new.
There can be no question that today's deal between Michael Thomas and the Saints is good for the wideout. It's a lot of scratch, and I mean, almost two-thirds of it is guaranteed. But the sink or swim question of the day kind of cuts in the other direction. Is the Michael Thomas deal a good one for the Saints? Five-year, 100 mil extension, 61 mil guaranteed. Is that deal a good one for the New Orleans Saints? Call us up. Let us know. 706-0111. CD, why don't you lead us off? Do you like this one for the organization?
I like this one a lot for the organization. I'm going swim with this one largely because I feel like when you look at Michael Thomas and you compare him to some of the other wide receivers they've gotten in the past, one thing stands out to me, and it's Michael Thomas, how he prepares himself game in and game out, and more importantly, how he can wind up probably working out well for any quarterback that's in that system, as opposed, like, because we're all thinking about life after Drew Brees over the next 5 years, and you wind up having a Taysom Hill, a Teddy Bridgewater here or there. You can have a guy like Michael Thomas still put up decent numbers, not necessarily over almost 125 catches over the course of a season like he did last year, but he'll still do serviceable enough to where you can wind up still making some leeway offensively.
You know, one other thing that I'm sure we'll be talking about for months, maybe years, regarding this deal, it's going to reshape how the pie is split financially within the Saints organization. Because after Brees, you got to start paying. I mean, we see it today with Michael Thomas. It'll be AK-41 soon. A guy that Jeff Duncan didn't mention, he mentioned Andres Pete because his is coming up sooner, but Ryan Ramczyk, Marshawn Lattimore. When you draft well, you got to pay the piper to keep those guys. And so suddenly you're going to have to deal with the structure where the quarterback isn't going to be able to take anywhere near as big of the pie as Brees has been. So just something to consider. Life after Brees, it'll be a quarterback that makes less. Probably a lot less. Something to ponder. All right, let's get out now to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Frank, you're the first call of the day. We wouldn't have it any other way. What you got?
Well, Ben, once again, you were sitting on my brain. 9 times out of 10, or, well, let's cut that down. 7 times out of 10, I would give CD the gavel and let him drop the mic and do all that. But I got to disagree with him here. This is opening Pandora's box because I know I'm going to piss a lot of people off with this opinion. I've been doing it all day since the deal was signed. Is Michael Thomas without Drew Brees? I mean, let's compare apples to, you know, apples. Is Marcus Colston without Drew Brees? Is Jimmy Graham without Drew Brees? He's a kingmaker. Okay, I'm not above players getting paid unless that player is a quarterback, because a quarterback's payment is a direct result of his arm, his efficiency, and how well he can do his job. A receiver is only as good as the quarterback throwing to him. A running back is only as good as the offensive line helping him run the ball. So that's where I draw the line in the sand. I didn't like the deal. I think $19 million was more than too much, but I was okay with $19 million.
So I'll kind of butt in and ask you this, and then I'll give you my full take. Do we at least agree that Michael Thomas had all the leverage in this situation?
I think he had too much.
I don't. But here's the thing. You can't fight against leverage. The Patriots have done that successfully because their biggest gun, outside of Belichick, Brady, takes hometown discounts, and the system works. In this situation, I don't think the Saints had a choice but to do what they did today. You know what I mean? You could say it's too much leverage, but I don't think you could fight against that if you're the organization.
Well, why not renegotiate? Breeze did it 3 years in a row so other players could get paid.
Because Pandora's Box, I'll tell you my take on that, because Pandora's Box in a different direction was opened last year by Le'Veon Bell. And so suddenly, whether it's over the franchise tag or it's over, you know, money getting divvied up a year before your rookie deal runs out, these guys have shown they're willing to sit out for an entire year now. The Saints are not winning the NFC, much less the Super Bowl, if Michael Thomas sits out this year.
Think about this year.
If 13 doesn't play this year, that team ain't winning the NFC. Again, would he have actually held out like Le'Veon? I don't know. I think he's got a little more character, if I had to bet, just watching the guy and how he carries himself. But that's why I think he had all the leverage here, Frank, and it may suck for the Saints. And I'm going to kind of end up between you and Clint, to be honest. I think it's a deal that their hand was forced. It's not quite $22 million a year, so they came back a little toward the middle. But the guaranteed money is what's a bit outrageous. I agree with you, but I don't think they had a choice.
Well, this was too easy, Ben.
Always is, man. And look, I appreciate the call, and I appreciate the conversation. Let's keep it going. We got some wide open spaces between now and 5 o'clock. More of your takes, 706-0111. I think Thomas had the Saints over the barrel in this situation. I don't know that he would have actually held out, but again, I've been telling you this for a week and a half. It's the old real estate, you know, mantra, axiom, whatever. One day a realtor is going to call up and tell me, you know what, you're full of malarkey. That's not what we say. But from what I've always heard, it's, you know, you get within 10%, that house is going to get bought and sold, period. Okay, so 18, 22, yeah, I mean, you're within that ballpark. They met in the middle. That's what we kind of thought would happen. Now, the discussion becomes, is he worth that much beyond Breeze? And that's what Frank's point is. He thinks that Breeze is the kingmaker, and this guy falls in line with Colston and especially Graham before him. I'll disagree a little bit there, too. I think there's more raw, natural talent that will allow Michael Thomas to survive and thrive in life post-Breeze. I think there's more of that in his corner than there was for Colston and than there was for Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham was the one made most by Breeze in this conversation. And maybe of any player that's come through this black and gold turnstile since 2006. I mean, seriously, I don't know that any player's value has risen more over the last 13-plus years than Jimmy Graham's. I don't think Michael Thomas is as susceptible to a downturn without Breeze. I think he's going to continue to be an all-pro caliber player, even without him. That's just my two cents. But again, we have some more time for yours. Why don't we do this? We'll take our final break in the hour. When we return, we got some more time to where we can speak on that. Plus, I do want to get to the passing of a local legend. Stick with me. We'll touch all those bases and take all of your phone calls. Then don't forget, Steve Sparks, Astros color analyst, live from Progressive Field in about 16 minutes. You don't want to miss that. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Can't miss radio on a hump day on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Revving back up, right back in. 10 minutes to 5 o'clock, you've got Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And just got the text confirmation. You got to love that. Steve Sparks coming aboard from Cleveland in about 11 or 12 minutes. Speaking of some of the goings on, Clint, with the Houston Astros, we know now that Zach Greinke will team up with Justin Verlander, Garrett Cole, Wade Miley for as nasty of a first four as you could ask for. But according to Jeff Luhnow, currently meeting with reporters from Progressive Field, Luhnow said that he told teams explicitly both Forrest Whitley and Kyle Tucker were untouchable during this trade deadline. And so we know now that the Astros' third, fourth, and fifth-ranked prospects, Seth Beer, right-handed pitcher J.B. Bukauskas, as well as pitcher Corbin Martin. All three were shipped out to Arizona when the Diamondbacks sent Greinke to Houston. But there you have it. Whitley, despite, frankly, an awful year for AAA and the minor league organization so far. But Whitley, Kyle Tucker, MC Hammer time. You can't touch them.
Exactly. That's huge whenever you just look at everything going on with that team. I think those two are going to be the undisputed future for that franchise. And Forrest Whitley, yes, he's had a really bad year in AAA, but I think they're showing a lot of faith in him, not giving up on it despite one relatively bad year compared to some of these guys.
Well,
like Seth Beer is only in the second year in the league.
There's the bad year, but then there's the whole getting popped for violating the league's performance-enhancing.
That doesn't help matters.
Drug policy. So, yeah, you could say that it hasn't been a great run for Forrest Whitley since he has entered the organization. But, yeah, the promise there is out of this world. So I think ultimately they're going to be okay there. We know the Saints are going to be okay bringing back Michael Thomas. What we asked you in the last segment is, well, is this a good deal for the Saints side? I'd love for some more response. We got Frank's. He doesn't think it is. He thinks that Breeze is a kingmaker, and you shouldn't pay Breeze's targets thusly. Clinton and I, by and large, disagree, but I see the shades of gray. We'll take your calls on the subject. 706-0111. While we wait on some of those, we're getting some good response on our Facebook account. Go to Facebook, search 1037 The Game, and you'll see these same responses I'm about to give you. You can enter your own if you don't want to call in. Jamie A. Swim. He says it is a good deal for the Saints. He continued, it's a calculated risk, but necessary to win a Super Bowl. Saints will take a huge step back once Breeze retires regardless, so why not go all in to win it now? I agree with that. Chris W. Swim. I like it. We have Michael Thomas now for 6 years. He's earned every penny in just 3 years. I'm going to double back to something that Jamie said. And this was my point, I guess, to Frank, or maybe the only counter that I would make, because I see where Frank's coming from. But Michael Thomas and his representation, I mean, they had all the chips in this one. They had the leverage. Because if he pulls a Le'Veon Bell and rides the pine, the Saints aren't winning the Super Bowl without Michael Thomas. I'm sorry to have to break that news to you, but it's just it couldn't be any more crystal clear to me. And so while you have to make this deal with the future in mind, like we said, 6 years, don't know if Breeze is playing one more or three more, but he ain't playing six more. While you have to make this deal with the future in mind, you have to respect the present as well. This season represents as good a chance for the Saints to win a Super Bowl, I mean, certainly as last year, but before then, yeah, I would probably say since 2009. In a 10-year window that has, by and large, been the golden era for the franchise, I mean, what? You would say 09? You would say last season? You would say this season? Maybe you would kind of look back to 06 with Reggie Bush balling and say, okay, that one they had a chance to, I guess. But not like they do this year. I mean, any way you slice it, they have a top three roster in the league. And they've got Drew Brees, a top two, three quarterback in the league. Now, you can make a case that they've got the number one receiver in the league locked up and happy heading into this all-important season. And for what it's worth, he's led the league in receptions. If you take the last 3 years, stack them up, it's him, and then it's Antonio Brown. Are we going to say now that Ben Roethlisberger is the kingmaker of Antonio Brown? I wouldn't. And so I would look, just for my money, I would look at AB, I would look at Julio Jones, and I would look at Michael Thomas. I think those are probably the three right now. You could throw others at me and say, Ben, you're forgetting this guy. I'd say maybe he needs to be in the conversation, but probably not with those three. 3 years ago, it would have been AJ Green. He's fallen, I think, out of that altitude, just in my opinion. Nuke Hopkins, there we go. Probably shouldn't leave him off the list. Madden says he's the only all-99s receiver, so yeah, in real life, he probably deserves to be that guy as well. So Mike Thomas in the top three or four, certainly. But I do think this is a deal that had to get done. So the Saints, they got their man back. The Astros, they've got their man in. And, you know, for what it's worth, I wouldn't mind seeing that thing go Verlander, Greinke, Cole, Miley. And then once you get to the postseason, Verlander, Greinke, Cole. Rinse, wash, repeat. Not to say that I wouldn't use Miley as a fourth starter, but you don't really need four. We've seen teams win the World Series with two horses. So I think that they're setting this thing up where they can go Verlander, Greinke, Cole, or Verlander, Cole, Greinke. I don't know how anyone in the AL is beating that team in a seven-game series. I just don't see it happening. Not even the Bronx Bombers. Not even when everyone there gets healthy and Stanton is back with Judge and they have the best mauling team in the league. And they will have a better offense than the Astros. They will. And they'll probably even have home field advantage. We'll see. That one could be neck and neck. But I would take the Astros right now against anybody in the American League. And then right now, yeah, I'd take them against the Dodgers. Dodgers desperately needed some bullpen help. Unless I'm missing anything, Clint, I don't think they got it. A lot of rumblings they were going to go get Felipe Vasquez, one of the best relievers in the game. Take him from the Pirates and make him their, basically make him their Ryan Presley, make him their eighth inning guy to set up Kenley Jansen. That didn't happen. Nobody got Mo Betta, in my opinion, than the Astros did today. So hats off to Jeff Luhnow and company. I'm sure we'll talk a lot more about it with our guest, Steve Sparks, at 5 o'clock. But for now, we're going to wind down. Hour number one, and we'll do it with one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Voice. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Epicenter. Yeah, I used that one earlier in the hour, but it feels pretty fitting. I think that Cleveland right now is kind of the epicenter of this trade deadline that was Dolan got real exciting real quick. Cleveland sent Trevor Bauer out. They're going to bring Yasiel Puig in. And we know what Houston just did. They picked up Zach Greinke like right in the middle of when dude was pitching against the Yankees. Crazy. And the epicenter right now is the mistake by the lake, Cleveland, Ohio. And that's where we're heading next. It's your final word of the hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. Halfway home, you're dialed into Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one. We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 2 underway. I'm Ben Love, and you're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Fired up that we get to lead off this hour with our best guest of the day. Let's take you out to Cleveland, Ohio, aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Steve Sparks, color analyst for the Astros Radio Network, joins us live from Progressive Field. Steve, it's great to have you here. How are things in Cleveland right now?
It's great to be with you, Ben. Everything's great. I mean, everything's really rosy in the last hour. What's transpired at the trade deadline, the team, the clubhouse, the eruption, everybody couldn't be more excited to try to get that second title.
I'd love to get some of that reaction, players especially. Of course, the news of the day, Jeff Luhnow and company, they pulled in a big one right near the deadline. Zach Greinke coming over from the Arizona Diamondbacks. What has been the reaction of these players? You said it's been, I mean, just utter glee, it sounds like, but give us some examples.
Man, what a jolt. I mean, everybody was just so fired up. First person I saw was Alex Bregman, and he just looked at me and just shook his head. He said, man, Luhnow, he pulled it off. I can't believe it. He said, man, it's game time now. Yeah, everybody, I mean, I'm excited to watch today's game in particular because of the adrenaline that's firing through the clubhouse right now. Garrett Cole, giddy. He actually knows Zach Greinke real well. They're good friends. So to have him on board and just another guy that prepares and professional, athletic, and all that, they just feel like between him and Aaron Sanchez and the other guys they got at the trade deadline, they feel like they're loaded for bear now.
Steve Sparks, our guest, joining us live from Cleveland on 103.7 The Game. It's funny that you mentioned Garrett Cole. I've already seen the quote, I believe, from the Houston Chronicle. Cole's excited that there's another wine aficionado that's joining the roster. We're trying to pinpoint who some of those other wine guys are on the roster.
You know what? There's not that many. Verlander is. So Verlander and Cole have made a couple trips together. And Cole first met Zach Greinke in Italy. You know, they were on vacation, happened to run into each other, so
wow.
They got to share that affinity from there. But Cole is big on the wine. There's times where there's a little tiny suitcase where he's bought some particular wine somewhere that he's got to get shipped back home. But he's into it. He'll break open a really nice bottle when the team has an off day on the plane every once in a while. And every once in a while I'll go back there and steal a sip of it, just see what the big boys are up to.
Steve, I think everybody understands what Zach Greinke brings to the table. With Aaron Sanchez, acquired from the Blue Jays,
yeah.
A little different. I know that Luno has said that ideally he's a starter next year. Your two cents on how they utilize him this year?
Well, just looking at his stuff, he'd be different from anybody else in their bullpen. And you know A.J. Hinch loves to match certain pitchers up with different hitters. And you get in a playoff situation, to have a pitcher that's so different from his other ones, in Aaron Sanchez, we're talking about two-seam, 95-mile-per-hour sinkers, which can induce a lot of ground balls, get you double play. So he might be the fireman, so to speak, to bring in the sixth or seventh or eighth when you get into those hairy moments, to be able to go in there and quench that fire. Going forward, I feel like they feel like he slots in well. There's no guarantees you're going to be able to sign Cole back. He's a free agent after this year. So to have Verlander, Greinke, Sanchez, who won an ERA title just 3 years ago, and the Astros feel like they could probably identify some things like they have done with the Charlie Mortons and Garrett Coles in the past to make them even better. They're excited. I mean, the talent is overabundant right now.
And as you know, we are the affiliate in the Acadiana area, and I've had so many people text me over the last hour and a half doing the show, and one thing that I forgot until I got the text: a healthy Lance McCullers Jr. added to this group next year.
Yeah, he'll be in there next year. He'll be on an innings limit, so to have three horses just ahead of him so they can kind of nurse him through a season fresh off Tommy John. The thing about Lance McCullers, and I talked to him quite a bit when we're at home, he's going through his rehab, through that, everything just going along perfectly. He feels great. He feels effortless when he's throwing. So come spring training time, he'll be ready to go. And Astros are looking good, man. You don't know what you're going to do with the free agents in a couple of years that the Astros are going to lose. You know, the Brantleys, the Springers, the Reddicks, some of those guys are become free agents after next year, not this year, but after next year. To be able to maintain and hold on to the Forrest Whitley and the Kyle Tucker, their number one and number two prospects in the minor leagues was almost a necessity. So they were able to do that and still pull off this great trade.
Another few moments with Steve Sparks of the Astros Radio Network. I guess how would you consider what they did give up? Prospects ranked third, fourth, and fifth in the organization. Your sense of that?
Yeah, they were great. You know, J.B. Bukowskis, Seth Beer, who's having a great year down in the minor league. Corbin Martin, who he actually made his debut on Mother's Day at Minute Maid Park. He's going to be a great pick. They gave up a lot, so they knew it was going to be painful to do something big. They recognized that the window is wide open for this team to fight for championships the next couple of years, so they want to take advantage of it, and they did.
It's still awfully early, right? You want to get through the regular season, but how would you compare and contrast this roster for the Astros against the Yankees?
Well, I think offensively, I think the Yankees can score more runs in bunches. But when you face good pitching, I think you can't rely so much on the home run. You're going to have to be able to manufacture runs. You're just facing too good of pitching. So I think the Astros are the type of team who can score five or six runs night in and night out. I think the Yankees are the type of team that will score 10, 11 runs, and then they might just score one or two because they just may face some really good pitching. So I would prefer in the playoff situation to have that relentless type lineup that can manufacture runs, still hit the long ball when they need to, but can score you consistently five or six runs, and those teams win a lot of playoff games.
The scope of our conversation, it's funny, has changed so much with what's happened over the last 90 minutes, but certainly we do want to preview tonight's game, Steve. Houston at Cleveland, Jose Urquidy versus Zach Plesac. Handicap it for us.
Well, two good, really young pitchers that have been pitching well of late. Urquidy's last couple of games, he's only given up 3 runs in 13 innings. He's creative on the mound. He's got a really good changeup. His off-speed stuff is great, and he's got a sneaky fastball because he's kind of got a short-arm delivery. So I think the Astros believe in him. Now, whether or not once those other guys get here, he remains on the active roster, we're not really sure, but they're happy that he's going for him tonight. For Zach Plesac, he's had a phenomenal July. He's only made 11 starts as a major leaguer. The Indians have won 8 of those 11 games. And his off-speed stuff, a lot like Urquidy, has been dominant.
Hey, before we let you go, a few more. Our guest right now, Steve Sparks on 103.7 The Game. Ryan Pressly, the 8th inning reliever, goes on the IL today. Is that something they anticipate will be short-lived?
They're not sure yet. So they don't want to really put any kind of a timetable on it. They just want to make sure it gets completely healed so they can have a fully healthy Ryan Pressly going forward. He's a huge, huge part of this bullpen. We've seen him be very dominant at the end of last year when they got him at the trade deadline and on through the beginning of this year when he was an all-star. So they've got to get him healthy to be right and to be dominant in the playoffs. So they're going to give him as much time as they need to. I don't think it's as simple as just the ball off the bat that hit his knee. I think there was something going on in there beforehand. So he's still trying to work out some of that.
You mentioned Alex Bregman, LSU fans, and this part of of the country love the guy. Just how much of a shot in the arm of this franchise has he been?
He's been unbelievable. He brings that edge. You know, he's got the cockiness and the swagger, the belief, the work ethic. He's a baseball rat. I mean, nobody's going to out-prepare him. So they need different types of personalities, and he fits that mold perfectly and very quickly. And I think the biggest reason why everybody started to gravitate toward him is because before he stepped into the major league locker room, he made sure he knew Spanish. He learned how to speak Spanish to where he can have conversations with those guys and develop those relationships. And the last thing he wanted to miss out on was maybe to learn from some of his Latin teammates, like a Carlos Beltran a couple of years ago. So he's kind of bridged the gap, you know, so where there's no factions in the clubhouse, and it's because of what he did before he even stepped in there.
Beautiful stuff. I know Astro launch coming up within the half hour. We look forward, Steve, to listening to you and Robert. Thanks for doing this on a game day.
You got it, Ben. Take care, man.
How about that? Just crushes it within an hour of first pitch. Steve Sparks, color analyst, the Astros Radio Network. And I had heard some things about how well Bregman fit in. I've now been to that locker room twice, going to do the show from Minute Maid. Those are pretty brief windows to shoot you straight, but when you watch it, you could tell, yeah, Bregman gets along with a lot of those Latin American teammates and learns to speak Spanish before going there, makes it a priority, the communication, the camaraderie, and now you add talent to that. 2 years ago, Verlander injected into the starting rotation down the stretch of the season, and now it's Zach Greinke. Incredible. And this would have been big news for a franchise in 2011. Still pretty damn big news in 2019. Our appreciation again to Steve Sparks for helping us run down that huge storyline live from Progressive Field in Cleveland. All right, quick break. When we return, let's get some more of your takes. Greinke to the Astros. Thomas, big deal with the New Orleans Saints. We'll be talking both. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Coming right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Whether he's sinking or swimming, Ben Love is just the guy to lead you in the right direction as you make your way back home from work. Now, back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
You having fun yet? Yeah, me too. Ben Love back in with the famous Clint D. And that was awesome. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports returning on 103.7 The Game. Steve Sparks giving us the time not long before game time. And the energy, he said it, I'll repeat it. Palpable from Progressive Field. This team, I mean, just on turbo boosters right now with the addition of Zach Greinke. The other side of that must have been interesting. Greinke started today against the Yankees, gave up 2 runs over 5 innings. Last I saw, the score is 7-5. Yankees on top of the Diamondbacks. I mean, I'm certain the man knows at this point, but who told him? How did he find out? Did it happen during his five innings of work? Did it happen right after? So many things that I want to know, but the trade deadline certainly delivered today. We're going to take your responses. Greinke to the Strohs, Michael Thomas, big deal with the Saints at 706-0111. And hit us while you can. Next segment, we're throwing shade. At 5:45, we're going to catch up with Ed Daniels, WGNO. Our guy flew into Pittsburgh today. When we talk to him, he's going to be driving to Canton to cover the Hall of Fame game tomorrow night. Also, the induction into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I know Ed Reed. I believe they'll be there for Kevin Mawai as well. So looking forward to Ed Daniels, I don't know, somewhere in that part of the country, around 5:45. But while we're waiting, this was too good not to run back. Clint and I took some stabs at who the other wine drinkers on the Astros would be. Clint immediately guessed Verlander, and this clip here from Steve Sparks shows that the famous Clint D, he was onto it.
You know what? There's not that many Verlander is. So Verlander and Cole have made a couple trips together, and Cole first met Zach Greinke in Italy. You know, they were on vacation, happened to run into each other, so they get to share that affinity from there. But Cole is big on the wine. There's times where there's a little tiny suitcase where he's bought some particular wine somewhere that he's got to get shipped back home. But he's into it. He'll break open a really nice bottle when the team has an off day on the plane every once in a while. And every once in a while I'll go back there and steal a sip of it, just see what the big boys are up to.
That slays me. Look, I've been to Italy. It's not exactly a small place, right? I know it's its own country. Those European countries sometimes are like our states. That would be like saying Ben Love and Clint Domingue were in Florida and ran into each other. It just doesn't happen that way. So certainly those guys had to be sharing a wavelength wine-wise to have been in the same place at the same time. But it's a great anecdote from Steve Sparks. Let's take some of your calls. We'll get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Robert is with us. Robert, let's talk some Strohs.
Man, you know what? I've been an Astros fan since I was probably 4 years old, and I'm telling you right now, I'm more excited than in 05 when we had Clemens, Bennett, and Oswald.
I think this is the most talented Astros team, top to bottom, that I can remember. I mean, right now they're better on paper than the team 2 years ago. Robert, you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I was there in 2017 when they won the World Series, and I just told the wife, I said, babe, I'm hoping the kids are real smart because I'm about to use some college fund money on playoff tickets.
Yeah, hey, look, the question is, are you taking them?
No, God, no. This is daddy's time.
That's the best moment of this show so far. All right, so their college tuition won't be there in 12 years, and they won't be there at the World Series.
You know what? At the end of the day, I think when daddy's happy, that's when everyone's happy, right?
Yeah, I think it used to be happy wife, happy life. But damn it, just go watch the Strohs win another one and take it back. That would be pretty sweet.
You know what? I might provide her with Jeff Luhnow's email address and say, you're welcome to send your complaints on to the best GM in baseball.
Fordham right here. Robert, thank you for the call. This was brilliant. And then Clint cuts him at the kneecaps. Dude, come on! You can't script that kind of caller. That guy was awesome. And he needs a patella replacement now because you crushed his kneecap.
He got clipped right there. That's definitely 100% on me, but it was just a phenomenal phone call. Definitely, I have to agree with you, Ben. You 100% cannot script that kind of stuff. It's awesome.
There was, and forgive me because I wasn't like a day-in, day-out, like, I don't know, like religious fanatic type of this show, but where is Phyllis from on the Feinbaum show? I don't have the time or wherewithal to listen to the show anymore.
She was from Mulga, I believe.
There you go.
Phyllis, passed away in like the last year.
That's exactly right. Phyllis from Mulga.
Yeah.
I remember. Okay, this is going to take us down a certain path. You want to call in, feel free, but just know that about 90 seconds are about to come and go where I give you some radio gold and you can't interrupt it. 706-0111. Robert's got me laughing. But it brings me back to a conversation I had maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago. I was still working as a beat writer in Baton Rouge. I'm talking with my guy Gordy Rush, and he's about to make the decision. They did this for like a year or two, and it went pretty poorly. But they put the Paul Feinbaum show on their ESPN 104.5, 104.9 affiliate. But they put it on tape delay. And so they would run it from 8 until midnight every weekday. So our guy Moscona goes till 6. They had kind of rotating programming, sometimes like what we have, between 6 and 8.
Yeah.
And then they would run Feinbaum. And it went over like a lead balloon. It wasn't absolutely horrible, but people in Louisiana were like, why do we want to watch a yellow Hammer State, you know, train wreck and also catch it on tape delay? So, but I remember talking to Gordy about that, and one thing he said stuck with me, and it informs exactly what I just said in response to Robert's call. He said, are you kidding me with Phyllis from Mocha? You couldn't create that type of character for radio. And he's 100% right about that. Gordy was 100% right about that. May God rest her soul, because you're right. She did pass recently, and I know that they were all there for the funeral. I remember seeing Feinbaum, yep, and some of the regulars there. You can't plant the type of phone call that we just got from Robert. That's the way that I connect one dot, yep, to the other there. Phenomenal. And when I asked him if he was going to take his kids, Clint, you know that I'm not a more than 100% type of guy, but I'm going to make an exception in this situation. I 120% thought Robert was going to say, of course I'm going to bring my kids. Wouldn't let them miss a moment like that. That guy's looking for some daddy daycare time already. Somebody else will take care of the kids. It's daddy time when the Strohs go to take it back. So Robert just crushing it. Those are big shoes. Let's see if our next guest is ready to step in those Nikes. Going out to the Artco Equipment Hotline. Mike, what you got for us?
Hey, I was telling Clint about one of the lesser-known but crazy Phyllis calls to the Paul Feinbaum show.
All right.
And she called up, and she was basically talking about, must have been Alabama or something, and about knowing the rules.
Woo, woo, woo.
Bye, Felicia.
Woo, woo, woo.
Telegraphed, right? You looked from the top of the key,
yes,
to the right wing, directly at your shooting guard. You stared at him, and then you attempted to throw a chest pass right to him. He telegraphed it right there with the rules of football.
Well,
I actually felt that coming about 5 seconds before. He got further along than Robert did with this sign-off. Robert got cut at the kneecap,
yeah,
but rules of football, Mike, got about 80% home there.
He was right there, but I think it was more the fact the second that he said, like, fall, I knew he wanted to say football. I was like, okay, here we go. Time to block this shot, Dikembe Mutombo style.
The Fall Feinbaum Show. Yeah. I sense the direction that was going. So, still, Robert's right. This is the best Astros team on paper ever. This is absolutely the best GM in baseball, and damn Skippy, you went and got him for my St. Louis Cardinals. Yeah, there might have been a little espionage that was going on with some of the computer files, but don't worry about that. Here's the rug. Here's the broom. Sweep that under, bro. That's fine. The guy's incredible. And what Lunau and company continue to do blows my mind. They are the best team in baseball on paper. Now you have to translate it. And that's all due respect to the Dodgers, but no, I would have already taken the Astros top two in the rotation over the Dodgers top two. I would have already taken them because I'm not relying on Clayton Kershaw come the postseason. And he's not exactly the pitcher of old. Yes, they've got arguably the best closer in baseball with Kenley Jansen, although he's kind of shuffled around a little bit this year. Yes, they have one of the top three or four power hitters in baseball in Cody Bellinger. They've got a lineup that's almost as potent, I think, on the NL side as the Yanks have on the AL side. But add everything up and give me the filthy front four of the Astros. Give me a lineup that's got a recent AL MVP in Altuve, a guy that finished top five in the race last year in Bregman, a healthy Correa, Springer, who was on an MVP-type track for a while in the AL before getting hurt this season, Acuña in the back end. Can you hear it in my voice right now? And I'm a Cardinals guy. But it's hard not to fall in love with what the Astros are doing. I guess I can have one in the NL, one in the AL, have my cake and eat it too. I'm going to try. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back, throwing shade. And we always know the rules of football, baby, on 103.7 The Game.
It's-
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports. But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Still cooking on a hump day. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, helping you round out the month of July on 103.7 The Game. Football season? Yeah, I suppose. We've been excited about it. And we'll continue to be. LSU, UL, the Saints, high school football. But this Astros thing has a lot of people jumping. Appreciate the response. And we did just get a little bit of it so far on Twitter. At TySands42, great interview with Steve Sparks. I could feel the energy around the Astros after the trade for Greinke. Had no idea. When Steve and I connected yesterday, we'd be discussing this. Probably should have considered that, though. Sometimes we stumble into greatness. I knew that we would have him before a big game against the Indians. Didn't connect the dots that we'd have him within an hour of the trade deadline and the potential for what could happen. So, Ty, we appreciate the listen and the commentary, but, yeah, how about a scene setter from the Astros going nuts as they have a very high-profile new teammate on the mound? Another one of them to join Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole. All right, with all that said, every day, our pleasure to carve out time and then give you a PSA locally, remind you that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the inventory, the standing seam metal awnings, the customized patio covers with the cypress accents, and the retractable shades and screens. But know that those are a template. They can help you create just about anything you want to have the baddest patio on the block. And they can up your patio game at Patio Center. It all starts with a trip to the website, patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Let's piggyback on this Greinke thing. Zach Greinke, after all, was pitching for the Arizona Diamondbacks today against the New York Yankees. I still haven't seen yet how or when he found out he was being traded. It had to have been during this game. I know it was. He pitched five innings. Did it happen while he was on the mound? Did it happen after he got to the dugout and put the jacket on and cooled down? Who told him? I'm always fascinated by how that happens. But, CD, as we throw some shade today, you've got a great example from, what, last night?
Yeah, last night, which was, by the way, a wild thing between the Cincinnati Reds and the Pittsburgh Pirates. Obviously, that brawl is the big thing everybody was talking about. And then the Trevor Bauer, Yasiel Puig trade wound up happening. And towards the end of that ballgame, word started to trickle out about the trade on Twitter. And one fan of the stands took it upon himself to inform Reds players, including Jesse Winker and Puig, about the fact that Puig was being traded after this game was all said and done.
So Puig going to be moving on now. They were both dealt.
Yep.
It's a three-team deal. But Trevor Bauer, ultimately. So Puig is going to the Indians.
Correct.
From the Reds. But are you telling me that a fan saw this on social media?
Yep.
And then told the guys in the dugout?
Exactly, and filmed it too. So
you're kidding.
There's video proof of this.
What is the Twitter handle? I actually haven't seen this yet. So for, you know, me and this next commercial break and any of our other interested listeners, where can they cop it?
Well, they can check it out. It's and this blog belongs to the Reds on Twitter, or it's abbreviated ATBBTTR. That's where they have the video right now.
That's what I get for asking. It's like 95 initials. Go ahead.
Exactly. But like I said, that's just the official blog for the Cincinnati Reds fans to kind of keep an eye on their favorite team. But it's just weird to kind of see, fans telling people they're going to be traded or sign with a different team. It's really unusual.
Incredibly unusual. So we're going to throw shade at the fact that, well, sometimes guys, they get notified they're being traded from one professional organization to another by watching TV. At least then they kind of learn it themselves, even if their, you know, owner, general manager didn't call them and tell them. These guys found out while playing the game from a fan and in the midst of a Donnybrook with the other team. What a time to be alive.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
And by the way, we're pretty close to the point where I might have been able to say hello to some of those guys. I told you. Did I tell you what I'm doing over the next 2 days? I've been dropping this occasionally in our liners and whatnot, making sure everybody knows, yes, we'll have B2BS the next 2 days, but yeah, it won't be me. Have I told you what I'm doing?
Yeah, you're going to go to the ATL where the players play, more importantly, the Atlanta Braves.
And the Braves are playing the Reds.
Oh,
and
nice.
So with any good fortune, I might be able to say hello to Trevor Bauer for you and all of Astros Nation. Give him that one finger salute for all of Astros Nation.
Just chant Tyler. Like I'm a Daryl Strawberry.
You made that joke yesterday. Yeah. I'm going to hope that jumped the day and it still makes sense to everyone.
Yeah, Tyler Bauer.
But I will be at the Friday night game. Yeah, Reds at the Bravos. And I saw this yesterday and I just pinched myself. You know who's starting for the Braves?
Who's that?
Kevin Gausman.
Nice.
So I'll see a former LSU pitcher. I'm pretty yoked about that, man. We got some good seats, going to see some college buddies, but I'm doing my best while I can this summer. I don't know how I lucked into this. My wife isn't the world's biggest sports fan, and then she started dating me, and so, you know, this is what I do every single day. And so she's grown into it. You know, we've got Cajuns football season tickets. She likes going to those games, but what she really, really loves is baseball. Really loves going to live baseball. Dude, I feel like I hit the jackpot there. Like, you know, Robert said, no, we're not taking the kids to the World Series. Daddy time. Well, I don't have to make that distinction currently when I want to go to a baseball game. Jen loves going to Teague Moore Field, by the way. Loves it there.
Yes.
We went to a couple of Astros games last year. We're actually going to catch one later in August. Don't worry, B2BS loyal citizens. I won't be leaving for any shows then. We're just going to take off after a Friday show at Rufino's on the river and go catch a Saturday game.
That's more feasible.
It's a $4 word there.
As opposed to, you know, having to drive
you know, and I am driving to Atlanta.
Yes.
I went to school up there, man. I don't fly to Atlanta. I just man up and I drive like the 9 hours from Lafayette. It used to be 7.5, 8 from Baton Rouge. So, no, I don't. I do not fly to Atlanta.
You're used to it.
I'm not getting to an airport 2 hours early, hour and a half early, getting out of the airport, going to rent a car. I'm not doing like 4.5 hours of travel when I could just get in the damn car and drive 8 hours. I'm not doing that, right?
Just make the drive to Cobb County, Georgia.
It's almost like you know of what you speak.
SunTrust Park, brother. That's where it's at.
I'm pretty excited, man. They moved that thing out of Turner Field. I've seen a lot of games over the years at Turner Field, going over to SunTrust Park in Marietta, and took in Bush about a month ago, going to SunTrust.
Yeah.
We'll be in Minute Maid before long.
Again.
I'm taking the tour before every Friday night.
Nice.
Carrot Grove football. Saturdays, Cajuns LSU. Get in while you can fit it in. Hey, I feel the same way about our next segment and our next guest, Ed Daniels. He's heading to Canton. He's not being enshrined, but he's covering those guys that are, and he's with us next. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports coming right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Raymond Parch III here, host of RP3 and Company, reminding you to tune in Thursday from 6 to 9. We'll recap more of the historic.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Back in one final time for your 5 o'clock hour. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. And you want to talk about a guy who's going to be where all the action is tomorrow. Of course, he's heading there today aboard the ARDCO Equipment Hotline somewhere in, I believe, East Ohio. Ed Daniels, sports director, WGNO, out of New Orleans. Ed, where the heck are you?
You know what? We passed East Liverpool, Ohio, which is on the Ohio River about, 25, 30 minutes ago. No, exactly. We just passed through Lisbon. I'm sure you're familiar with it. But anyhow, we've done this before. We fly to Pittsburgh usually when we come to Canton. It's just a tradition, and we've been here a lot lately.
So getting ready for the Hall of Fame game. Of course, you know the news closer to home. Michael Thomas gets a landmark deal with the Saints. What words would you use to describe the deal that was struck?
Well, I think the biggest thing you got to look at more than anyone else is, more than anything else, Ben, is the $61 million in guaranteed money. That's a lot of losing. But look, there's no doubt that Michael Thomas had a lot of leverage in this deal. And, you know, if you watch the Saints wide receivers practice over the first week of camp, you know, you would come to the conclusion that there's no real standout there. And all of a sudden when they get Michael Thomas in, well, they've got their guy. But there's no doubt that this deal is going to get done. I think he handled it exactly the right way. He got what he wanted, and the Saints wanted to get him signed for a long-term deal. And this is the first of many. I mean, you got to remember, they got a bunch of guys coming up here. You know, they've drafted well. Now they've got to pay the price. They've got, you know, they've got to make a decision on Vaughn Bell at the end of this year. Sheldon Rankins, they've got one more year on him because he was a first-round pick. But then you got to sign all those 2017 guys.
Yeah.
You know, you got to pay Kamara. You got to pay Lattimore. And look, the biggest contract might belong to Ramczyk, who is going to be, is already one of the best tackles in the game. And he was the last pick in the first round in 2017. But as you know, offensive linemen are coveted. So they've got a lot of guys coming up that they've got to get signed. And they need to get as many guys out of the way as possible to try to keep this nucleus together.
Talking Saints football, and we'll get to the Hall of Fame game, Broncos and Falcons, with our current guest, Ed Daniels. Good enough to join us on 103.7 The Game. What do you make out of this deal and maybe how it prepares this offense and this franchise for life after Drew Brees? Certainly that's factored in.
Well, sure it is. I mean, look, you know, they're not going to be able to, at some point, afford a giant contract for a quarterback, you know, based on some of the deals they're probably going to have to do here in the future. And, you know, that's the hard thing about keeping it all together. And, you know, that's why I like the Teddy Bridgewater deal, although, you know, I don't know if Teddy Bridgewater is their guy for the future or not. I do think he could be their bridge quarterback, for lack of a better term, if Brees walked away at the end of this year. But if he came back, then, you know, they can keep the band together. But look, if they're able to keep Ramczyk, Lattimore, Kamara, Michael Thomas, and a couple of other talented young guys together, they can still have a pretty good core. The problem is, you know, Ben, you know, on a Monday, I'll be in the office around the water cooler, and a lot of people are telling me, well, you know, we need to, if the Saints don't win, which hasn't been much lately because they've won 24 games the last two regular seasons, well, we need to get a new quarterback. And I just wonder what game they're watching. So, you know, we're going to find out at some point just how good Drew Brees is, and that's when he's not here. And frankly, I'm not looking forward to that day, and I hope it's not anytime soon.
It is incredibly strange but appropriate that you're going to have to think in the near future about a team that's not lopsided toward what they're paying the quarterback, and there's going to be a guy there, to your point, Ed, who's going to be paid at a different level, and, well, the wealth's going to be distributed elsewhere. Today, you're right, tip of the iceberg stuff, I think, with Michael Thomas. Anything else that strikes you one week into training camp, this team continuing to build toward a highly anticipated season?
Well, you know, here's the guy that everyone's been talking about, Ben, was Emmanuel Butler, the rookie free agent, undrafted free agent from Northern Arizona, which, by the way, is Michael Haynes' school, the former New Orleans Saint and Atlanta Falcon. Emmanuel Butler's been really good. 6'4", 220. You know, now, haven't played any games yet, but he's been very, very impressive in practice. And I think Chauncey Gardner-Johnson has done a really nice job. I'm going to tell you a guy that I've got to watch a little bit. I had a chance when they put the pads on, and I thought Eric McCoy did a really nice job. The Saints' first pick in the second round from Texas A&M, the center.
Coming down the stretch with our man Ed Daniels. All right, you're going to watch the Falcons against the Broncos, but I'm sure there are other parts of this week and weekend that'll be even better for you. Tell us about the experience. You do it every year. What's it like?
Well, you know, we've done it a lot, Ben, and, you know, the big reason why we're here this year is Ed Reed, the former Destrehan High School safety, who did everything at Destrehan, but the former Baltimore Ravens safety from Destrehan High School was going to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame this weekend. Plus, Kevin Mawai, who hails from Leesville, and Johnny Robinson, former LSU Tiger, also being inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So, you know, I would say that every day here in regards to the weekend is really fun, but I think that the best thing out of the whole deal is the gold jacket on Friday evening. It's just absolutely terrific. All the gold jackets are there from previous Hall of Fame classes, as many as possible, and they're all welcomed into the club, the new guys. So I think it's a really special event. We were here for Morty Anderson a couple of years ago, and we were here for Willie Rofe. You know, this is the significance of that read is this, though. We started our high school football show 28 years ago. He's our first Canton guy.
Wow.
In that whole deal. But we'll have more. You know, Peyton, probably Eli, Reggie Wayne. I mean, there's a bunch of guys coming up that you figure that will be making this trip. But, you know, Ed Reed is one of my favorites, too. He's a great guy. And I'm very excited for him. And, you know, for to be a first ballot guy is fantastic. Plus, you know, the Atlanta Falcons have some LSU flavor on their team. So we'll get to interview some of those guys, too.
It's going to be a great weekend. Look forward to the coverage. And, look, when you come back, promise me this. We'll get back. We'll do this again. And we're going to talk about high school football, high school sports, because, as you know, a lot changed this week and continues to change with the Louisiana Select Association. So a lot of schools here, a lot of schools with you in the Catholic League. It's going to be an interesting season and year.
Well, it is, but I think we'll get into this. We need to find out where these venues are going to be. So I'm curious just how that all turns out, but I guess that's a topic for another day.
There we go. Ed, enjoy the trip. Thank you so much for doing this.
All right, Ben. Talk to you soon, buddy.
You just have to love that. I mean, literally driving, what did he say, East Liverpool, Lisbon? Sounds like that cat is out there on the other side of the pond, right? Somewhere in Portugal or, I don't know, with the Limey Brits. All right, enough of my bad geography. But in all seriousness, dudes out there talking high school sports, Hall of Fame game, Saints, just killing it. And we appreciate that. Ed Daniels, WGNO Sports in New Orleans. He is, of course, the sports director and a hell of a guy. This has been a hell of a show with a day that's produced a lot of great news. Michael Thomas has a deal. Zach Greinke is Astros bound. And as I told you to lead off the show, I think they're going to win the American League. And from there, I would take them to beat the Dodgers. Whoever prevails in the NL, it's not as big as Verlander 2 years ago, but it's not too many rungs on the ladder below when it comes to the magnitude of what transpired today. And Jeff Lunau and company, take a bow. Congrats to all of our friends over there. Huge day for the Houston Astros. Pretty landmark day for Michael Thomas. The New Orleans Saints as well. We had a lot of fun with our guest star-studded show for the famous Clint D. My name is Ben Love. You've been listening to Bumper Sports. Even without me, trust me, the show will go on. Blaine Viator and then riding shotgun for half the show. Tomorrow will be Christopher Kovach. Check him out. B2BS will be live from the Taproom River Ranch and always on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.